it's just been a breath of fresh air since President Trump has come into office, and just the sweeping change. I mean, every 4 years we kind of prepare for the pendulum swing politically. If it's a Democrat that's in the White House, the pendulum goes one way where we're getting heavy regulations and a lot of economic burden and financial burden placed on the industry. When it swings back to the right and a Republican comes into office, typically there's some form of regulations that get eased on our industry. But we're seeing kind of off the charts, unprecedented regulations being lifted on our industry right now. We saw that with a lot of the executive orders from the Trump White House earlier this year. Congress has now followed up with the passage of the big, beautiful bill, the reconciliation bill. And so in that bill is a number of different details that helps ease the burdens that we face that have been kind of put in place. I can go through a few of those. The coal royalty rate reduction on federal coal royalty rates went from 12.5% to no more than 7% through 2034. And there's acceleration of coal leasing, which has the Interior Secretary has to act on new leases within 90 days before. You know, we had one of our coal mines for 10 years was waiting for a response from the Interior on whether or not that they were approved to mine their land or the land that they had set up in their permit. It just sat kind of in purgatory for about 10 years until Senator Hoeven and others came forward and were able to push that through here within the last year or so. And where it's why that's unique to North Dakota is in North Dakota, we've got an 800-year supply of coal. Think of everything kind of to the north of Bismarck, all the way up to Canada and over about, 100 miles or so is all coal country. And then you kind of butt up to oil country. Well, in there, there's a lot of federal, state, and private lands that are just like a checkered board where they're just mixed between themselves quite a bit. And so as you're mining within private land, you can butt up to some state land, and then the next, the tract of land over could be federal land. So if you're mining and you want to make this an economical operation, you want to be able to continue to go in the path that you're taking. Well, what had happened was with the federal lease, basically moratorium from the Obama days, that would block our ability to mine through that land. So you had to pick up your whole operation, move around that land, and it added cost, time. It was a completely unworkable situation. So we're thankful that that has been not only the Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has fixed some things on his end, but also Congress passed that in this to really put some teeth to say you have to act within 90 days. So no matter who the Interior Secretary is moving forward, it can't just sit there, as I said, in purgatory. There was an expansion of federal coal leasing, which directs the leasing of about 4 million additional acres of federal land. That's all over the country that has known recoverable coal reserves. And then authorization to mine that adjacent federal coal, which is the one that I was just talking about, how you just can't be putting up roadblocks. I mean, this tract of land is no different than the next. And in North Dakota too, it's unique where the federal government owns a lot of the minerals that are under the surface, but they may not own the surface. So the landowner that our industry would go out and work a deal with to enter into a contract with us to lease the land to go mine the coal, well, if he had federal coal, the landowner did under his land, that rule from the Obama era blocked that from happening. And so that landowner then was negatively impacted and wouldn't be able to do the deal or had to sit there and wait as long as industry did. So those are a couple things that are more, towards the federal coal side of it. There are others, but it's a breath of fresh air that we've made, these changes. I think there's a lot more to come, and we've seen signals that there might be future reconciliation bills that address other details, but that's largely from the coal mining side of things, what we've seen happen. There's two other things that kind of stand out as well. One would be the production tax credit for wind and solar has been going on for about 30 years. Largely it was to help prop up that industry in the early days so they could enter into the market and get their wind farms and solar farms built. Those kept being extended over the years to the tune of, about $40 billion, I think all said, which impacts coal and other resources in the marketplace, where they could produce at basically zero, where we have a lot of costs to mine the coal, to burn the coal, to pay the employees, to run the power plants, which could be $1 million a day to run one of our coal power plants. Whereas, you know, our competitor in the market was out there basically getting a tax credit that met about what it cost us to produce. So it was an unfair marketplace. The PTC, as we call it, is set to start to phase out here over the next year or two. That's welcome news for the coal producing side of the energy production industry. We just want to operate in a fair marketplace. If everything was even, we're going to be really well set off into the future. And then the last one, Scott, to bring up is the 45Q tax credit. For a number of years, this went back to, I think, 2018 during the first Trump administration. Legislation was passed that provided a tax credit that if you were going to capture industrial carbon dioxide off of a coal power plant, it was $85 a ton to sequester that underground. The other option of what you could do with that industrial CO2 is you could use it for enhanced oil recovery, or EOR is the industry term. But that was placed at about $60 a ton. So there is a huge disparity between those two rates that made it, you know, not as attractive from an investment standpoint to go and invest in a capture facility on a coal plant to do EOR.